Yellow Jackies. Appreciate everyone listening to our Yellow Jackets podcast. I'm just here to say we're mostly going to try to keep the Yellow Jackets podcast feed with your Yellow Jackets content. We do have another show we're covering currently at this time, Single Drunk Female. And like we tell everyone, you can always find You Don't Know Jackie content. You search You Don't Know Jackie. We have a You Don't Know Jackie View feed that'll be holding our Single Drunk Female episodes that are going on right now. We recorded about the first two episodes that I'm going to put on this Yellow Jackets feed if anyone wants to check it out. And if you would like, you can follow us on You Don't Know Jackie View feed. And you know, you can check out back catalog. Like I said, I feel Severance and Bad Sisters probably are shows that Yellow Jackets fans would also like. But Single Drunk Female is also a really good show. We love to talk about it. I think it has brings us to a lot of good, fun conversations. This is season two just starting up. If anyone wants to check it out, appreciate it. And here's our episode.
I know this is hard. I can't be an effective sponsor right now.
I mean, yeah, you can. We can FaceTime and text.
Sam, you're not a newcomer. I want you to know you have the sober foundation to get through.
Yeah, but that's because of you. Well, I don't know if I can do this without you.
I'm sorry, I have to prioritize my health now.
Okay.
Listen to me, you need something for the moments I can't be with you. Humans are fallible. You need a higher power.
Seriously, abandoning me and then telling me to go find God?
I never said God. Your higher power can be anything. It can be the sound of birds when the sun's rising.
Ew.
It can be a really good mug of tea. My point is, you need something to hold on to so you can catch your breath. Say the Serenity Prayer. Mouth the lyrics to a catchy song, recite a poem, just something to get you through, okay?
Okay.
Would it help if I said it's not you, it's me? This isn't exactly the way I planned it.
Helps a little.
I'm gonna miss you.
So is Corey here now?
Yeah.
Very good.
I was just going to say, you know, hopefully people remember the show from season one and are excited as we are for season two.
All right. Welcome and welcome back to our Jackie asses, our TV viewers, our Single Drunk Jackies. I'm Jackie Andy, joined with Jackie Rachel and Corey. Won't be a Jackie. Don't know why, but I mean, I guess I know why. It's just, you know, stubborn. But one of Corey's favorite shows is back, Single Drunk Female, for season two. So we watched episodes one and two. Episode one, Promotion. Episode two, Grant Me the Serenity. And we're here to talk about it. So first off, I guess we've got, you know, season two of Single Drunk Female. I don't know if anyone's catching this that is listening to our Yellow Jackets coverage or something, but you can watch it on Freeform. It's also on Hulu, and they've dropped the whole season. What do we think about that? Last time it was a weekly.
Well, I like weekly because it gives you something to look forward to, and then you can't binge. But I don't know if that's like the popular opinion these days. I feel like people become bingers, chronic bingers.
Right. Well, what's
your thought? All the episodes, and they want them now.
That is very true. Yeah. Certain things, I mean, because I have followed this whole Love is Blind thing. I don't know. That they keep dropping in chunks. No, there's others. Oh, I got into a whole Easter discussion. I found someone to trap and started talking about it started on Love is Blind. It went into the challenge. You know how it got. It was going, but they liked it. They liked it. So, but that one goes in chunks, right? But the problem is a lot of people say, since these are, you know, real people, it's everything is kind of spoiled on the internet if you want to go search for it, right? And I try to stay away from that, but for a show like Single Drunk Female, it's not the same. You're not like following Sam Fink in real life and going to find out what happens between her and James at the end of the season or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Corey, do you have any take on why it went to a whole full season drop? I know you're the TV kind of
I think it gets views up. I know you were asking Corey's opinion, but I'm going to give you mine instead. So, like, I feel like because it's easy, you can just sit there, especially since they're what, like 20 minute episodes, you could crush a season and then that's like more views than if somebody had to wait every week. Maybe they forgot about it, maybe it didn't catch their interest in the first episode, they don't continue watching. I feel like it's
maybe yeah, well, that's why I think it's good to give a few at the top. Like, I think Freeform did air two episodes, which is a little bit, I mean, this is already season two, so I don't know. People should go back and binge season one if they were going to get into it. I think we also kind of learned from Yellow Jackets, the other show we're covering, that with the numbers there, the weekly wait gets more people on board, gets more people talking about it. Once you go in one clip and binge Single Drunk Female, there might not be as much buzz about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it might have something to do with the fact that this show was picked up so late for a season two that they maybe want to go with the idea for people who are watching on Freeform, for that younger audience that used to be, was it like Disney for kids? I forgot.
ABC Family?
ABC Family. And that younger demo, for them, they'll watch it weekly. And for the people who may have found the show later, they can binge the whole entire thing and, you know, maybe help build the buzz of people knowing how the show is getting, how the show has gotten better. I mean, I think that the idea of doing it this way might help short term on the idea of like the Netflix idea of, you know, you watch everything at once and then you get that water cooler talk for the first couple of days. But by doing it both ways, I think it helps the idea of the people who want to watch something weekly are satisfied by the once a week viewing on Freeform, and the people who just can't get enough can go and watch the whole season right away and have that fix. We have to say it that way for a show about addiction, but, you know, have that fix of their favorite show and then are able to move on to their next thing and, you know, feel fulfilled at that moment.
Yeah, well, we'll have to even figure out for ourselves what we're doing. Right now, we've all only seen the first two episodes. So if you're going to follow along with us, I don't know. Don't go too far ahead, maybe, if you don't. I mean, you can listen to us maybe make wrong predictions then. That's fine.
And I guess the other thing on that is, yeah? I think that it's kind of almost like a little bit in between of what like the Apple model is of their first, when they first debut a show, they do chunks, like you're saying, also some of these reality shows that you watch. That, you know, like Ted Lasso, the first two episodes come out and then it becomes a weekly, or they put them out in chunks. So, I mean, I think it's just a different way of rolling out your product to see how you get the most people. I mean, if this doesn't work, I mean, like if they see that the ratings for Freeform aren't great week to week, it might just be a show that goes directly to Hulu. And that's how it rolls out, you know, for as many seasons as we get of it. So, I mean, I think it's an interesting model of seeing which way could possibly work in the future.
Okay, we'll start off with the episode now. We've already, I guess, jumped 6 months forward from when season one ended. Sam, the sobriety calendar's 549 days. She's like speaking at a...
Boy, did that opening scene give me a scare. I was like, she's in freaking jail? She's in freaking jail?
I thought it could be a flashback, you know?
I mean, I was hoping for anything. I was like, I need an explanation.
It was interesting because we did get to see a glimpse of Gail in there. So, you know, because she's done as her parole officer, right? But she's definitely still, I mean, she's at the party. She's at, you know, like maybe she's using her for some speaking engagements, whatever. We find out Sam's turning 29, is her birthday. You know, she decided she's going to throw this big party or whatever. She's got now a job, you know, write another one of these gigs at Hit Pause Boston or something like this, right? And she's still like doing these, the listicles, right? Similar to what she was doing in New York. But
in her BuzzFeed type of job, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Biz or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know we kind of passed over, but a friend of the show, Madison Shepherd, like I said in that opening segment with Gail, I know that I sound like I'm kissing her ass every time I say something about her, but I just think moments always work. I don't know if it's just the smirk that she gives at, you know, just the sheer, just like gall of, you know, of Samantha and her white privilege we spoke about last year and everything else. But her, just those moments where she just gives that little smirk of showing that this girl really doesn't know what's going on are just always so funny to me. And
yeah, it's like the wrong audio. Her speech, like, oh, let me keep going on. Everyone's staring at her like, really? We're supposed to be relating to you? I don't.
And everybody, you know, going out to your Bible study, say hello to the big JC. Yeah. I found that very funny. So, I mean, like I said, I hope that Madison's on the show more as season two goes on, but and I just really hope that all the best things happen for her, because I do think her comedic timing is just so good. And, you know, just also to say, you know, congratulations. I know she got married in between season one and two, so I mean, hope for all the best things for Madison. But, you know, back to the general.
Yeah, but we did see her at least a little bit, so you hope maybe see her more. Someone I'm wondering, you know, JoJo Brown's character, was it Mindy, what's the name of, because she's not working at the supermarket anymore. I thought like some people had developed.
Yeah,
little...
we kind of like lost storyline.
I mean, we did hear from Stefani, but what about Josh? Because based on what's happening, I don't know. Are we going to be able to see Josh, the cat?
The world's biggest cat.
We may not see Josh. We'll have to keep posted.
That was something when I was watching, I did think about the fact that I missed, you know, the Mindy character and some of the other characters that were part of the supermarket and group and everything. So, I mean, I really do hope that JoJo Brown does come back for season two. I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, she'll be in some of the future episodes that we got, but yeah. I do feel like that was something that was a little bit missing.
Like, the James character, they were developing something where they could like lean on each other. They could obviously show up at a meeting or something, you know?
Right. Do you think Sam's going to become a sponsor this season?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good,
I just hope it's not James' sponsor, because I think that
James' sponsor. I don't think that that's like really ethical to be a sponsor for your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. So do you guys want to talk about the James stuff up front here? Because
it's sad. I did not see like his character going this way. Yeah. I just can't believe he backpedaled so hard, like emotionally, sobrietally.
Yeah. He's very weird. There's some weird energy.
I know at the end of season one, we were very split in regards to, you know, what we thought of James at the end. I know that Jackie Rachel was pretty anti-James at the end of last season. And I was a little bit more pro, you know, pro-James.
Well, that's
I think
our
it's an
shit,
interesting
Corey.
Twist.
We can't be on the same side.
That's what makes the show great, you know? Andy plays it right down the middle. Brandon wakes up and joins us every once in a while. And me and you, opposite sides of the spectrum. It's the greatness of the show. I mean, I just wish the reviewers would understand that, you know, we don't speak fast enough. It is what it is. And we have too many accents, apparently. We may get into that later.
I think the thing we had an issue with was maybe more what James' actions were. I think, you know, all in all, we would be rooting for James. But, didn't agree with the gaslighting type of thing that was happening.
Yeah, I mean, do you want, and it's kind of funny the fact that because maybe characters you like more than others, but do you want to see James be a part of this season for the remainder of the season, or do you kind of feel like we got maybe a little bit more of our closure and we don't need to see him as much?
I don't think they have closure.
I definitely want
to see him, like, well, I hope he bounces back, you know, he gets on the right track, but it's gonna be a problem because she's trying to have a love life outside of him and he has other plans.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like more like he just wanted almost like a booty call at you know, just with like going right in for the kiss and everything. It almost felt like he forgot everything that they went through that first year And maybe that happens as a result when you fall off the wagon, things become clouded in your judgment. You know, you have to basically almost like reprogram yourself again. But it kind of felt like Garrett basically forgot the fact that he was her crutch in season one and they developed this relationship. And it felt like he just wanted, you know, to go right back where they were and as if nothing had happened. And as somebody who was a sponsor, you know, you would think that he would have a better understanding of the process.
Well, in season one, he was the one saying, you can't
date somebody.
I don't even like us talking about now is making me realize I don't even like think that this is necessarily realistic. He's like a different person now.
Yeah. Well, right. I think he's in a bad place. Maybe if he was, you know, off the wagon, if he was off the wagon for that 6 months, he hasn't been at hasn't been at a meeting. They're acting like you're like day one now, you're starting over. And she says, I had to protect myself. You have to put your oxygen mask on first. But then I don't know, you have this where if we're looking at the opposite side from season one, where we thought he was giving her mixed signals. Now I guess he's interpreting what she's doing as mixed signals, because then she's inviting him to the party, right? Even though she's like, well, no, we can't. It's not just going to be, you know, like they're almost swapped.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is a good juxtaposition. Sure.
Yeah. There aren't that many signals. He hadn't seen her in 6 months. They hadn't spoken because was ignoring his text.
No, it was one cue of like, hey, I invite you to this party. He took it as like, oh, open door, you know?
Yeah.
And we didn't hear how the invite came and anything like that.
She shouldn't have done that. We know that from, what's her sponsor's name?
Olivia.
Yeah, the way Olivia reacted, she was like, what? You invited her to the party?
Right. Yeah. So should I uninvite him now? No. And mostly it's the party. I mean, you have a little bit of, we hear Joel. So Joel and Britt are getting a divorce, right? That's still like the paperwork still has to go through all this kind of stuff. Joel's talking to Carol about it. It's already funny.
As the person who did not like the character of Joel last season at all, uh-huh, I do think he came across a lot more human these first two episodes. I know we'll get to episode two in a minute, but I don't know if he was more likable to me or not because he felt like a real person, but mm-hmm, I did like the performance a lot better in these first two episodes. Because, you know, I feel like he came more across as like a puppy dog, and now he kind of felt more like an actual person who was going through heartbreak and, you know, actually had a purpose than just being a device for, you know, Sam to have to go and figure out like feelings that she may or may not have for all the people who are part of her life.
Yeah. I mean, it's slightly better, sure. Because I think Britt dragging this out and not telling the parent, you know, I think that part is wrong. So you're, mm-hmm, you know, you can understand and sympathize a little bit more with him, but they shouldn't have been together.
Do you think she's pregnant? I feel like there's something going on with her.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that. That's interesting.
I don't know. She would have said maybe, right? Well, she said, because he even says, what are we going to do? Have a fake pregnancy, a fake baby, send them down a fake college soccer scholarship?
But then she dumps the thing of mints in her purse. I don't know. I feel like there's something like that she wants to say but isn't saying. That's what the feeling I'm getting. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah. I think it's the idea of all these people being in their late 20s and having a little bit harder of time of showing their true feelings at times. Because I mean, you see at the end of the episode where she sees the pictures of Joel basically, you know, breaking down in the booth, mm-hmm, and you see that there's something, you know, there is still something there. But if she's been pregnant for 6 months, you know, because they basically haven't been together since the wedding, you would think. I think that one could be a little bit of a stretch. And I know some people
tell more
than others.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that they haven't been together for 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take that.
There's a wrench in my theory.
Let's take that one off. Britt and Felicia seem to be getting along now, too. Like, they have a whole nice little group here.
Everybody seems like all buddy-buddy. I love it.
Yeah. Hey, good friend. Like, Britt tries to, like, what she sees is Joel. Everyone got Sam a journal for birthday. except for James.
You know, gave her a beer glass. Yeah, it seems like he's really not ready, maybe to get back to normal society. But I thought all that stuff with the three friends, I think, does work really well. And I do think we need some point in this season a flashback of what happened during those 6 months, because I mean, I really kind of felt like we weren't missing something, but you know, I wanted to get a little bit more into what was going on with. Because like when we leave off at the end of season one, you have Sam, you know, basically being that support system for someone else.
To her, right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically it's 6 months later and
I feel like
we know that, you know, Joe.
Yeah, maybe they will. But I feel like they had a conversation, like, you know, especially with that splitting up. I feel like that was just the door opening. We'll be friends again, get pancake breakfasts, you know, at the hospital. That's where you get the best pancakes. And Britt set up Felicia with her new guy, right? So
I really like him. I think he's a very good fit for
Felicia.
Yeah, I forgot her name for 1 second. I think they're a nice fit. I mean, it's funny that the people who seem like they were in stable relationships in season one are now not, you know, now almost like some of these roles have been reversed. Where, you know, mm-hmm. basically all we Britt was hiding, you know, some of her insecurities and, you know, thoughts about Joel, you know, at one point. But, you know, she seemed to be like the most stable person in season one. And now she feels like she's the one who's going through the most turmoil as we start in season two. And, you know, Felicia was kind of hiding some of her insecurities about being, you know, a single mom and having to put on this reputation for Samantha, and now she's happy. Samantha, which we'll talk about, you know, with the promotion stuff, is still Samantha, but you know, she's like it's basically, you know, turned around where Britt's the person who has the most problems of the three friends.
Well, I love that Felicia and Sam, like, that now 6 months later they're still besties, because that goes to show like that their connection was like much deeper and stronger than just going out and like, you know, getting lit at the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what, like what Felicia opened up and told her in season one about, mm-hmm. like, you know, I can be this other, I'm not just like a party friend and or whatever. And if you go and like, just talk about Felicia's trajectory through these episodes, because once you get into episode two and her Peter has like passed the boards or, you know, whatever, and they try to go out for this thing. She's got to think of like a gift to give him and everything. And she thinks like, okay, it'd be a different gift than, you know, people were suggesting a coupon for or whatever, right? Like, that she ends up giving him crypto and then writes best wishes in the card. I mean, and then finally said, oh, okay, well, I was like scared to show how I felt, really, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a little.
I thought they were going to say, I love you.
Yeah, I thought she was going to take back the card and like cross it off, like change it. Like, let me redo this card. But she was like, okay, no, I'm not ready just yet. But my hack, this is what you do. If you don't know, you're unsure of the whatever. It's like a salutation, but like, what's the end one to say?
Mm-hmm.
None. Just put your name. Like, ooh. If it's like happy birthday, just name. You just leave off the thing. And I don't do that in romantic situations before everyone attacks me that I'm not romantic, whatever. But if you're like unsure, if it's like, oh, is this a from? Is it a love? Like, best wishes was that
grandma.
Yeah,
sounds like grandma's like giving you money.
Would be bad in that situation. So I feel like you just sign it like Felicia, the little heart, and like you avoid this whole thing.
I was an interesting.
I think
question,
she panicked.
Though. Yeah.
Oh, she definitely did. Yeah.
Well,
I love when she takes a picture of his butt in the cafeteria. It's like, should why? He's got a nice butt.
Should I make that a cop? That's very. I do think
the girl's like, I think you're thinking too deep. Every guy would be fine with a.
Well, we brought it up a moment ago. This isn't, of course, in episode two, but how long into a relationship do you actually say I love you?
It depends.
I mean, I feel like Bob told.
Definitely have to be, you know, DTRing, defining the relationship thing. Like,
I told my boyfriend a month and a half in.
The month that it happened? What did that mean?
A month and a half in. A month and a half in.
Oh, I thought you said the month that it happened.
No.
I was like, I knew I felt that way, but I, like, you know, it was within that month that I left it out. But a month and a half into DTR, when you define the relationship.
We were boyfriend and girlfriend.
But then
you're this girl, like, ruined the moment.
Relationship before that, right? Where you would have been developing feelings, no?
Yeah.
I think it's different for everybody, Corey. I think sometimes.
But he was also my friend for, like, 2 years before that. So, like, I already loved him to an extent, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I think that makes the transition easier. It wasn't like I was, like, meeting a new person and a month and a half, like, is all it took for me to love this person. Like, I already loved him, like, as a friend. So I think that makes it easier to, like, fall in love with somebody. Whereas Felicia didn't know this man's before she met him at the wedding.
Yeah. So it's been 6 months. No.
Mm-hmm. I think 6 months is, well, you can tell that they I think that they both know, or at least Peter knows and Felicia's starting to realize. So I like that for them. I love that for them. Love you guys.
I like you a lot.
Best wishes, guys. Best wishes. But definitely could be coming soon for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would say. Please, people get married, like, at first sight.
It's a whole TV program.
You know.
What did you guys think of Bob and Carol this coming back this season? I thought they had nice, you know, continue to have nice little chemistry and.
Yeah, I guess their relationship's going well. Living together, he's working out of the garage. What, Bobby physical? What is, right?
I think it was something like that. I really like their scene with Joel. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe I like Joel better because he was acting with these character actors, you know, like an Ian Gomez, who I think is really good in all his scenes. So mm-hmm. I mean, I think maybe that helped. And of course, the incredible Ally Sheedy, who, you know, we all love, you know, for different reasons.
Yeah. I did think, it's funny when, like, you know, Sam's getting ready for this big party and everything, which we'll talk about also what we think with this Alex character coming in that, you know, initially, you know, just gave her a desk, whatever. He said, oh, I don't think I should go to the party. I'm your boss, whatever. Shows up at the party. Turns out he's been fired. And then, you know, basically then uses that as, like, hey, I'm not your boss anymore, so would you want to go out, right? Just to talk about Carol, I thought it was funny at the party that, you know, Sam was like, you know, stay in here, blah, blah. They came in my area. They're in the kitchen. She's just, like, asking about, does Sam talk about me? What is this what you expect I'd be like? And then she's like, gee, I don't know how you guys, like, the thing that we get it is, like, losing the taste of it, that snap, crackle, pop of, like, Prosecco. Like, it's, like, wrong conversations to be having.
She's trying to tempt them. She's like, no, the snap, the crackle, the pop, no, none of it.
I think it's funny. As soon as, I guess I had seen that John Glazer was going to be back in this season. So as soon as Alex said, oh, yeah, they're hiring some boomer from New York, I'm like, oh, it's Nathaniel. Yeah, he's coming back.
I knew as well. And I was like, shit.
He's definitely a little scatterbrained in this. But I thought it was funny because to that, she says, listen, these people don't realize I'm sober. But meanwhile, a lot of the people, like this guy Jeff from her office that we seem to be seeing a little bit of, right? She mm-hmm. used to be sitting at him, having struggling opening things. And then he was at the party. You would assume there's some other people from work there. And there's a bunch of people from the program or that Carol's talking to. Like, you know, I thought, like, Carol would have given it away to the whole office and she's worried about Nathaniel.
Yeah. Are you surprised that Mindy was not at the party? I mean, it might have been just scheduling. Right. And
but
stuff,
maybe she but have to, you know, yeah. Could be away or something. Yeah, no, that's what I mean. You could have used everybody at the party. Josh.
I mean, I don't know if it's a giveaway, like certain things. I think that when you get up in front of an entire office and tell them that Sam hit you in the face with a phone is a little bit different.
Well, also, he was acting so crazy that you could have just thought it was a joke. Like, He was making an accidental thing, and then he was making a joke out of it, like, oh, she threw the thing at me, like it was an accident. You know how sometimes people, like, you know, tell like stories. I could see that. Like, everyone was just kind of taken aback. He's coming up with all these nicknames. I mean, there's a little, well, I guess.
Striped shirt.
I just said fruit stripe. Fruit. Right?
Isn't
that? Charm, like, he calls someone about, like, based on Charmander, like, you know, the Pokemon or whatever. I mean, I guess people do make up nicknames in offices. That is a thing. But there's a little bit where I was like, oh, it's like Corey trying to be like cool, like, all right, everyone, yeah, whatever. But I don't know, it's not that much like Corey, I guess.
Maybe all inappropriate,
like some other people.
Fired. Yeah. But no, but going back to Alex, I think Alex is an interesting character and somebody that I can see Sam, you know, having a little bit of fun with at for a couple episodes. I mean,
it seems too predictable to me. Like, okay, your boss who just got fired on the day you got promoted, and now you're gonna date.
Yeah, well, because they were flirting a little. You think he would be like? I mean, I guess he's like, oh,
well, he's very tired. First thing you think of,
oh, great, I guess I'm gonna have a party.
I mean, I do think it was very funny and cute, the idea at the beginning of the episode when we first meet him. The idea of the fact that, you know, if I go to your party and I also gave you this desk, you know, people would talk. I mean, I think there was a little bit of, you know, a little cuteness at, you know, over there.
Oh, they were definitely getting along. Happy birthday. You too. That doesn't make sense. Like,
and yeah, he's like, okay, when you're done with this panic attack, like, let me know.
When we had, and I hope everyone goes back and listens to the episode if they're just finding us through Yellow Jackets, we had Simone Finch on last year to talk about, you know, the process of the whole entire show and season one. I mean, I believe Simone said that Garrick was kind of a bunch of people put into one. So I do wonder if, you know, if this show, at least this season, ends with them back together, you know, with a whole arc of his redemption. So I do wonder.
I don't know if they're necessarily right for one another. I hope that they can become friends, but I don't really ship them.
Yeah, it might be friends. And just to be clear, because you're using the actor name, for you're speaking about James, just in case everyone's up on the names. Yeah.
Of course, you know, also check out, we had Garrick on the show as well last year, so you can check out that interview back in the archives.
Yeah. So, I mean, we touched on Olivia a little bit, but just to, you know, talk about this. Now, do we think we're not going to be seeing much of Olivia? She's basically said she can't be Sam's sponsor anymore. It has to be on bed rest since they mentioned she's 11 weeks pregnant or something like that in the beginning. And I was like, oh, was she like getting her ready for like, oh, guess what? You get to be the greeter. Like, who's going
to? You have to be on bed rest from 11 weeks forward. Isn't that like your whole pregnancy?
Yeah. Well, some people do get told that. I mean, that does seem very we know someone that was on bed rest for like a significant portion of their pregnancy, actually. But yeah, it's probably
we do.
Oh,
okay.
Friend of the original podcast, Latanza, Jackie.
Oh,
Latanza.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, but it is kind of awful. You're just, like, sitting there. It's because Stefani is going around traveling and inspiring people to be their girl Boston. She's not going to be around to help Olivia, so Olivia's going to go to Maine where her sister can help her. And, yeah, I mean, maybe we'll get the phone call or two or something, but, you know, I don't know.
FaceTime.
Yeah. Is Sam going to find a new sponsor?
Well, this is where I think the transition's going to happen. Like, I feel like the signs are there that maybe she's, like, ready, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To, like, I don't know, she got promoted to be a greeter at the meetings.
Right, which Mark was very upset about. That took me, like, 4 years or whatever he said. I guess she doesn't even care about it. But he was just mad because he doesn't like belly button birthdays.
It's weird.
See? Do you know?
I don't know what a belly button birthday is.
It's your birthday. It's your actual birthday. Who in AA, your birthday is your sobriety day. So a belly button birthday is just like your real birthday.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, like, what is that? Like 29? It's like not like a big, who cares? Like, man, she's throwing this thing. I mean, listen, taco truck, I'm there. But that's a lot for 29. But I get she's in a good spot. She got the job. You know what I mean? Like, it does make sense.
I mean, I think it would be interesting that we've spoken, you know, about the fact that one of the big guest stars of this season is Bussy Phillips. I mean, I think that could be interesting if maybe she's her new sponsor. That could be, you
Bussy?
Know.
Bussy? Isn't her name Busy Phillips?
Yeah, that's what I think it is, too.
What did I say? Bussy?
Yeah, I don't know how many episodes we're going to see with her. Or
maybe Sam is her sponsor. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
Question, though, since when Sam first realizes, also, so much like Jackie Rachel would bring a succulent, I feel like that would be like a... a good gift. But if she realizes it's Nathaniel, you know, or whatever, you have this kind of bad experience of him being like, oh, Sammy fake, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. She quits.
This is this is episode 2, Grant Me Serenity, right? That's the
it happened.
Trying to get into it.
Yeah, well, we've already talked about it.
We're
the first two episodes here. But I just, because the question I have is then she's home and she's talking to Carol about it when, you know, where when she talks to Olivia about this, it's like, well, maybe like, you know, control your impulse and wait to make a decision, things like that. And then she tells Carol, like, oh, you're taking this better than Olivia did. Is Carol like serious or not? Is she just like, yeah, you can go to the Boston Globe? That is she doing that to like, I'm going to pester you now? Basically, now I'm like your biggest advocate. We'll get you to the Boston Globe. And Sam's like, oh, crap, let me get this job back.
I think so. I think that's the mothering version, the fact that she's trying to get her to do what's right. But I think she's most likely learned a little bit over the year or years that the only way to get Sam to do something is to almost make it seem like you agree with her. So she wants to do the opposite kind of situation.
Right.
That's basically how you guys get me to do anything. You know, you basically tell me that it's a good idea. Then I go, nope, all right, that's a bad idea. That's how I felt it's been like for the last couple of years. No,
it was a good play on Carol's part because I didn't know if I would have seen that, you know. But I don't know. Because like I get what Olivia's saying was more, you know, what are you really protecting, your sobriety or your ego? And then, you know, as soon as she talks to Carol, she basically is like, I'm going to go back and get this job. And Nathaniel then is joking with her that like, no, you quit. You can't have the job back. But then it's like, no, it's us. Come on. Of course. Yeah, we're going to make it better. Everyone, Sammy's back. Woohoo. It's like, what?
I think we saw a little bit at the end of season one when they had the interaction at the tailgate. The fact that Nathaniel thinks their relationship is one thing and Sam totally thinks it's another. So, I mean. You wonder what is, it almost seems like Nathaniel might be on something. He might be a little high or a little something himself with some of those scenes.
So. Boomer. No, that's my Jackie Rachel. He said that people are going to think like we slept together. No, they're not.
I love that. So the ongoing joke on every job situation she's in, the bosses are slightly uncomfortable with their status. That's the thing that they always go to. Alex did that, and like in the first episode, Nathaniel does that in the second episode. So I think that's an interesting trope that they're doing with, you know, the idea of a male boss and how people always, you know, think of the relationship between a male boss and a younger female subordinate. That's got to be, you know, that kind of has to be the relationship that
Nathaniel's just unhinged.
Yeah. Oh no, he's definitely.
I guess she was trying to get a female boss. She was trying to work for Felicia and be the receptionist, but maybe that would have been a better.
She shut that down quick.
Yeah, we kill each other. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about. The only thing I have is really this Olivia and Sam, you know, speaking basically the end of season two.
Sam said,
"Oh, you were right. Tells her you were right." And Olivia's like, "I'm glad you've learned to sit in the discomfort." And Olivia tells her now that since she can't be her sponsor, you need to find a higher power, right? Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. It be whatever. It doesn't have to be God, this and that, whatever. What do you think? Anybody have a good sample of what your higher power would be?
The Working Wrestling Podcast and the Sports Witness. I think I think it's kind of just getting out of the moment and, you know, the distraction of some of like the stuff that we watch and stuff like that. I think it's almost like a peaceful distraction. I think that's like in the crazy world we live in with, you know, all the craziness and politics and everything. And unfortunately, sometimes it's gone into the sports world, but for the longest time, getting away from the real world, you would watch, you know, sports or movies or different things to kind of distract from the, you know, the real life.
Wow, I like you're one of them. Unfortunately, it's gotten to the sports world. Oh, we're opening a can of worms here.
I mean, this is like really good advice for anybody, sober or not. Like, to mm-hmm. learn to sit in the discomfort is so important. People bury their feelings, you know, even when they don't have addiction. It's like a really great tip for life. You have to confront like your feelings. You can't run away from them because they will always catch up with you.
That's very true.
That's why you're what?
Back on the podcast for another season.
But we see Sam at the end sitting in their closet where she had gone when she was also at the party when she got upset, and singing Outkast, Miss Jackson. Well, I like
Miss
it.
Jackson. Sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh. I am for real.
Yeah.
The other thing, I guess, was the big thing we kind of skipped over in this episode was the Charlie and I'm sorry, not Charlie. I'm thinking of people's real names. The Charlie Hall who plays Joel.
The parents.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why, because I'm like, we were jumping all over the place. I was like, what else?
I thought that was very funny at the beginning with the stuff with the Amazon boxes, and he kept on talking about different type of sports bras.
Oh, I have some stuff written down about that.
He's like, can you change your...
Why would you have not just adjusted? You could send Amazon boxes to anybody, right, Corey? Clearly. Why not just get your own Prime account, Corey, right? No, but that was funny. That why was she also? He's living in the house they built. Did she ever move in there? So she's just like using the one address. They have one address on the Amazon account, and that's it. And it is his. She's just like, I'll order it, send it to him. She can't just add. I wonder, is she living like where they were living before, and he's moved to the house, and the parents don't know this for 6 months? It's pretty good hiding. I guess she's been sending them selfies and everything.
Yeah, I mean, she was like, let's take a picture. And he was like, no. Yeah.
Her parents were not happy about it. She was right, but you should sit in the discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? See, it ties back.
Does Joel's vacation?
He's the type of boyfriend who would learn anything, yeah.
Yeah, well, he just said, how's Auntie Farah? Like, I wonder how much he understood what they said. I think he could pass, like, here, get clips here and there. You know, he would have probably learned a little bit, sure.
I thought the people who played the parents, I thought were both good. I mean, it was just like, how would you react if you were out of nowhere? You know, you're having this conversation at lunch, and all of a sudden, the parents, you know, came out of nowhere. I mean, I think if that was me, I would have just totally shut down or left. I know it's my parents who most likely have been there, but it was just like,
the other person would have told your parents, right? They would have been like, what happened? Like, you would have made up an excuse to leave, I guess. And then your parents would still have lunch with your significant other ex.
Right. I mean, as much as I felt bad in ways for Joel, what he's going through, and liked him more as a character in episode one, I just don't know how I understand he's hurting and he's trying to find a way for closure, but I just don't think that, you know, that's mostly the best way to handle that type of situation.
Ambush somebody? No, it's probably not great. But I mean, 6 months, you really should say something.
It's true.
Talk about like when you say I love you, or you could have a debate about that. You haven't even spent any time together. You're married. You know what I mean? You weren't even married. Like, you should have gotten an annulment or something.
Right. Well, I thought that was interesting.
She's not letting him move on.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. I did think that was interesting. I did not know, in the Haitian culture, that they don't believe, in divorce and stuff like that. I thought that was an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah. Well, I feel like old people, old school parents in general, a lot of times, or even with that, the Indian arranged marriages and stuff like that. There's a lot of things that are still prevalent, but.
That makes sense. I mean, I thought this was a good first two episodes of the new season. I mean, I do hope that people are continuing, to listen to us, of course, talk about it, but also watching the show in whatever form they decide, either via Hulu the whole entire season or weekly on Freeform.
Yeah. And if you would like to reach out to us, you can email us, youdontknowjackiepodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on social media. You Don't Know Jackie, Instagram, Facebook, Jackie Podcast on Twitter. We also have a Patreon if anyone would like to support the show. Shout out to our patrons, James L, Rona J, John M, Cassie M, Marie N, Anastasia M, Kelly O, Brenda G, Kate C, John J. Thank you. Thank anyone that's listening. We have a bunch of other shows on our feed. I don't know if you listen to season one of our Single Drunk Female. If you any of our other shows, we're currently also doing Yellow Jackets. If you found us through Yellow Jackets, we'll still have that. But if you want to check out Single Drunk Female or anything else that we've covered, you can look back on You Don't Know Jackie View feed. Just search You Don't Know Jackie and be able to find it.
And just quickly, I just wanted to let people know, people who did not listen to last night's new episode of Let's Talk AEW.
There was
an announcement at the end of the episode.
Oh my gosh, I didn't listen. You're right, because I was watching Single Drunk Female and Yellow Jackets.
I mean, it was also, the episode was 2 hours and 20-something minutes. Way too long, even for us. But at the end of the episode, there was an announcement that tentatively, once a month, the Human Wheelbarrow, the true talent of the Worksheet Wrestling Podcast, will be coming in as a special correspondent once a month. Jason Brooks is returning to the podcasting space, and I'm glad that he's taking that first step back in, and we hope that maybe he's able to join us on one of these reviews if we talk about, season two of Heels at some point when it comes out.
I know, we never talk about season one.
That's very true.
As always, thank you to producer Jackie Brandon, and thanks to Jackie, Rachel, and Corey for joining me.
Hope you enjoyed the epi. Bye.
Bye.
I just also wanted to say one other thing is that I really, really enjoyed these first two episodes. They honestly made me a little bit emotional because this is a very real subject matter. So I think they handle it with grace and humor, and I'm really excited to watch the rest of the season.
I couldn't agree more.
What's that?
One day at a time.